So the parasha, we're opening a new book, right? Remember, it's always remember that like that. In your mind, on one day when you need to teach, you need to remember that. Five books of Moses, okay? The reason we call it five books of Moses, because the last book was written by Moses, but he's the one who put it into writing, into physical writing, so people can read it. Okay, so just to remind you. Now, the fifth book's written totally by Moses. The first four books, written by God. Now, it makes sense also, Kabbalistically, because Yud-Keh Vav-Keh is God. So the first four book, Yud-Keh Vav-Keh. And then Malchut is the manifestation. Now, the books also go by the Sefirot. So it's Keter, Chokmah, Binah, Ze'er, Anpin, Malchut. So the first book, Bereshit, Keter, makes sense. Then Chokmah. This is Egypt, getting out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea. That's Chokmah. Now we're going into Binah. Vayikra is all Binah. Vayikra. All Binah. How do you say Vayikra? Leviticus?
Leviticus.
Then Bamidbar, the fourth book of Moses, is Ze'er Anpin, and the last book, of course, is Malchut. So the books start in a very weird, interesting way. Vayikra mean to call somebody. Liko lemishu. You know, you're calling up someone. So he said that God called Moses. And he said, God called Moses, but the letter Aleph in the end of the word Vayikra, which means as he was calling him, it's a small Aleph. And there is so much commentary on that. What exactly is that small Aleph has to do with anything? I mean, some say it's about after Moses tried to save the Israelite from the golden calf, and he didn't. He lost most of his light, and he stayed only with one thing, and that's the Aleph being diminished. From his name, he only left with almost nothing, and he was ready to sacrifice himself for the people, which is tremendous, you know, tremendous what he did. Some say that Moses worked on himself to become smaller. So there is different opinion. But the idea for us of this week specifically to focus on is we're getting closer to Nisan, we're getting closer to the Pesach, we're getting closer to everything. This is basically it. And we know as we're getting close to Passover and to Nisan, the whole idea, please meditate, they asked me to ask, meditate for, I don't know if you know them, Caroline and Mike Wise, you know them? So she's in the hospital now, supposed to give birth today or tomorrow, Bezal Hashem. So they need our meditation and help. So just, that's a nice message. Bye. All right. So the idea is to get into a point that this week we work on ourselves, how we can connect to the light in a way that we diminish our ego. Now, diminish our ego has to be sweet. If diminishing the ego becomes bitter, it's the ego itself. Working on yourself spiritually has to be sweet. If working on yourself spiritually becomes bitter, it's ego or idol worshiping. Example, one of the greatest Kabbalists was taking in the old days, they didn't travel with airplane, they traveled with the sheep from one land to another land. And the rabbi arrived to the town, and he has few luggage. So he said to the guy, here is $10, carry the luggage. I'm staying in that hotel. Those days it was not too many thieves. Give the money, they deliver it. Deliver it to that room in that hotel, please, or motel. So it was morning time, the ship arrived to the area, to the bay, the download. And the rabbi go to his room. The guy who lifting all the luggage arrived at night. I said to him, before he come in, it's in the door. The rabbi doesn't even open the door and say, what happened? He said, that's your luggage are very heavy. I couldn't carry them. He said, if my luggage are heavy, they are not my luggage. Go find my luggage. What is the story trying to tell us? The rabbi didn't mean just luggage. He meant the spiritual journey has to be fun. If the spiritual journey make you feel heavy, that means you're not on the spiritual journey. You're on some guilt trip that somebody teach you that you're supposed to suffer. You're supposed to enjoy getting closer to God. It's written in the Mishnah. In Pirkei Avot, the book I told you to read on Shabbat. Pirkei Avot, the
Ethics of the Father.
Ethics of the Father, in English. In Ethics of the Father, please remind me, Daniel won that verse, I forget to send it to him. Lo Alecha. So, in Ethics of the Father, where was I? I was giving her one verse, which was the line before Ethics of the Father? About the luggage. That, yeah. So, the Ethics of the Father teach, the Mishnah, that if Altiyu Ka'avadim, do not be a servant who serve the rabbi, the teacher, Al Menat Lekabel Pras, for the sake of rewarding, for the sake of getting a prize. Pras mean prize. Prize. Pras also mean a gift. When a person start looking like they working on themselves spiritually, that show diminished in God. We cannot look, we suffer when you work on yourself spiritually. Now you study, you read Torah, you read Zohar, you read Kabbalah, you read spirituality. If you walk around like how miserable your life is, a person who have a doubt that one day to be spiritual will never go in because of you. And that's why I always test my student, and I'm sorry to tell you this, but I told you on Shabbat, is how many people they're affecting is not how much they're getting. How much they're getting, they're smart. They're born later on with the seichel, with the brain. You know, some people don't have brain. I don't know if you ever met somebody who's really nothing. It's going from here, and he doesn't find a way out to here. That's how bad it is. It's not even coming out. It's somehow, there is people not being developed. The IQ is low. They're not intelligent. It happened. You know, when you read the hand, a lot of things that show about wisdom, it's not there. God. Not when God was giving wisdom, they went to the bathroom in heaven. So, but it doesn't mean that those people cannot fulfill their mission. Because it say, Ashrei temimei derech, meaning somebody who's worship God in a total faith, also it's a wonderful way. So the idea is, my dear friend, when you worship the Creator, and that's really what it's all about, you have to know how many people get affected by you. So you get a lesson. It has to be like immediately, always the 10 sefirot, 10 people that you share it with. And it has to be not passive, it has to be active. And it doesn't matter who the people are. You know? And, you know, I have people that I teach for 19 years. I have people that I teach. I have a new guy start trusting me. You know, he's a Leo. For Leo to trust me, take like a long time. But this guy finally pick up the phone. Today, you. To me? Yeah. I mean, quite famous, you know, and they have all this Leo thing. So I said, thank you. So let's work. And we start working. And the idea is a lot of time, people missing the opportunity of what God want to give them because there is too much show off. You don't need all of that. It's fun to be spiritual. It's fun. If it's not fun, you're missing it. How can it be that from God will not be fun? How can it be from God will not be happy? So today, a rabbi won attachment. So the rabbi changed. The rabbi position went down. And what new position the rabbi got? Policeman. Everybody is policeman. You know what mean police? They become police. They become police. They police you if you do right, you do wrong. You do right, you do wrong. You do right, you do wrong. So I was invited by my dear friend, God bless him and give him long life and a lot of money and health and everything else. I was invited to go to New York. So me with white clothes, try to imagine, walking into a synagogue, one of the largest synagogues in New York City, Ashkenazi, if you understand what it means. Don't think you understand. Ashkenazi, hardcore. There is Sfarad Ashkenazi, hardcore Ashkenazi, Sephardi, Mizrahi, Persian, Yemen, Italian, I'll give you all the Portuguese, there's many styles. So I'm talking about the hardcore, the one who even do the pray differently. Baruch Shamar come out, a mess. Me walking with the white clothes. Now, you need to understand. The room was, try to imagine a big basketball court, okay, full of people, suit, tie, smell, shave. Everybody looked like $1 million. New York City, Upper East Side, walking in with my two sons. And my son was Virgo, of course. He say, Abba, I'm not against white clothes, but I'm going to wear a jacket on the shirt. I think it looked better. It's Virgo. I can't help. Can't help. Baruch Hashem. So we walk. My son Yehuda cannot. It's Leo. He knows he's the king, so they have to change. So we walk again. And I'm not saying anything. What can I say? The energy is a bit heavy. Not heavy, forget. I cannot even say. So after Shabbat, you know, I see it, a few people. I say, listen, there is hope for this place. But what are you doing? Now, they don't have issue with money. No money issue, no location issue, no issue at all. Just it's not fun going there. I will not go there. Sitting there and go. And nothing happened. Walking in, walking out, you actually work worse as you come in. You walk a little bit less evil eye, less people checking your shoes and your jacket. You have no idea. You guys. So today I get a phone call, thank God, Baruch Hashem, from my dearest friend. May God give him long life. He called me and said to me, you know, it was a discussion about the guy in white. No, 3 months after. So what is it? They want to hear what you have to say about how to elevate the place. I was very happy. So first, we need to know that pray, meditation, eating has to have fun. If there is no fun part of it, that means you have ego. If you connect to God and God knows how you are miserable, you are not connecting to God. You connect to your own ego. Okay? So it's very important to understand Moshe Rabbeinu here. Moses, it was God's world for Moses. It's not like us that sometimes we think this is my life. This is my house. This is my family. This is my body. When you connect to Moses, what happened to the children of Moses? Somebody ever asked that question? Why have they never been mentioned? What happened to them? Where is the generation after Moses? That wasn't his call. He has 2 sons. They didn't continue with the path. Actually, no real person, the children really continue. Most people didn't continue, unfortunately. You need to know that. You include Rav Ashlag, Rav Brandman. You know, it's very difficult. Very difficult for a dad to create. If you create 3 generations of rabbi children, that's like considered the ultimate. 3 generations, then God promises you anything you want. But what's the purpose? What's missing? My dear friend, if you've been seen working on yourself, and people from the side look at you and say, oh my God, such a tzaddik, got a problem. Something is off. Because God's gone. There's no more God. There's you. There is you. So Baruch Hashem, you know, I used to pray at Shuva for 1.5 years, and I gave lecture there and this, the best I can, few people came. Nice. Debbie felt comfortable somewhere else. I said, oh, we're going to go to that. I don't know the name. I cannot say it. But
YSCC.
Why is that? So many letters. Good. So I said, oh, Baruch Hashem, now I can read. Open my book. Shtatan. Space. Nice. Beautiful. Then this gentleman come to me Friday. Hello. Said, yes. You the teacher. You know, I'm the reader. So did they know you teach? I said, no, they don't know. And let's keep it. No, I'm going to tell them. I said, no, I'm teaching here. So then we said, keep telling people. We're teaching here. Why am I telling you all this story? You need to be found as a person who have fun study. A lot of time I see students talk to people, and the people feel pressure because the individual who talk to the people internally don't have a connection to God, have a connection to information, have a connection to intellectual. You need to have fun with God, and then people will feel it. And it's drinking that you find God. You don't have to study to find God. You're touching the table, there's God in it. Here, God is everywhere, is alive. The person that you're going to meet has to do with your neshama, has to do with your soul. You're connecting the same. So now you're exchanging soul. You give them so you can receive. If you are helping them, they're helping you, that's all ego. Okay? I just want to start with that because this week is a preparation for Pesach. Be strong this week. Be powerful. Overcome whatever negativity and making sure that what your health, you know, this week, because now with Aries is the head, okay? We know that Aries is controlled by the head. Headache, neck, pain, all those things. Is the head. So in the next 3 weeks, we talk. All right, let's talk about it a little bit. Diminishing of the ego. Can you read or it's too little?
And Hashem called to Moses and spoke to him out of the tent of meeting, saying, Rabbi Chia opened the discussion with the verse, I came to my garden, my sister, my bride. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk.
By the way, I just want to stop. One day, if you have time, read this book, Shir HaShirim. One day, I hope you will read it. It's considered, if it's written in the Zohar and in every book, that that's considered the holiest book ever exists. There's two holiest books exist, Tikkuni HaZohar and Shir HaShirim. They say that these two things will bring the Messiah and will bring the Shekhinah. The Kabbalists say these are the only two books who can make it. So let's one day read it, you know?
The beginning of the verse disagrees with its ending and its ending with its beginning. It says, I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. And following this, it is written, Eat, O dear ones. One who invites others to eat does so when the food is set before him. However, once he has eaten, how can he invite another to eat with him? Yet it is written, I have eaten my honeycomb, I have drunk my milk, indicating that he has already eaten.
So the discussion starts related to Moses. Why was Moses called? Because we are very confused about that call of God to Moses. Because it says, Vayikra, it says that God called Moses. And then it says, Vayidaber Elav. And then it says he was talking to him. I mean, he can talk to him any place you want. God is all over. So we understand there is two forces going on here. So what is happening here? That's what the Zohar wants to explain to us. So the Zohar, I unfortunately took it in the middle because the section before is long. It starts from 1 to 26, build up, and then it go for that. So let's continue, and it will build up into the answer, please. Yes, go ahead.
He answers, Yisrael were fortunate that the Holy One, blessed be He, wanted to purify them and chose them from among all the nations. Having chosen them, He wanted to distance them from all persecutors in the world. Come and see, the very day that the tabernacle was erected below, another tabernacle on high was erected with it on the very same day. As it is written, the tabernacle was erected. Not specifying further, because it also includes the tabernacle on high, which is Malchut. That day was a time of rejoicing for the Holy One, blessed be He.
So we need to understand every little action, good things we do, happening in heaven as well. Every bad action allows the klipot to diminish something in heaven as well. So it's not a joke. Nothing is ever a joke. I mean, the only place klipot can ever reach, the highest they can reach, is in Da'at. Da'at is below Keter Chuma Bina. Pharaoh reached the Da'at. That's why Pharaoh, in different letters, is Oref. Oref means the back of the neck. Now you know Mitzrayim, the neck, is the narrow part of the body. So that's why on Pesach, before Pesach, we're burning the chametz. Why are we burning? We're burning the Pharaoh inside of us that will not go up to Keter Chochma Bina. Okay, so just, I want you to know. Just a side note. Now, the idea of understanding that the whole concept of, if you think about the ego, you know, is to think that some people say, I will never change. I try to work on myself, but I will never change. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov said, if you believe you can destroy, you should also believe you can fix. Because if you have enough ego to believe that you destroy that, then you should have ego also to say, I can build it. But truly, we are so, I don't want to say nothing, because some of you might get depressed. We should be happy to find out how nothing we are. Because it's not our universe. My friend, it's God universe. We are riding in the creator universe, beautiful universe. And we got to do the best we can to work together, to have unity, to do things. Now let's go to Moses and find out.
What is written once the tabernacle was erected, and Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting. When the Holy One, blessed be He, saw this, He said, the tabernacle was erected by Moses. Yet he remains out of it. Immediately, and Hashem called to Moses. He said to him, Moses, what does a housewarming dedication consist of? A feast? If any man of you bring an offering to Hashem, he therefore began to speak of sacrifices, which are a feast for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire to Hashem. This is the meaning of, I came to my garden, my sister, my bride. This verse is interpreted as a reference to the sacrifices.
So there is two subjects here. One is the sacrifice. One, the beautiful Moses, how he didn't go in. And it say, if you can see, Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting. When the Holy One, blessed be he, saw this, he said, okay, he started to have a conversation with Moses. Sometimes people play humble, and some people are humble. You know, a lot of time, you see people are politely humble. They say, I'm sorry, please eat, no, I'm okay, please this, I'm okay, please this. That can be manners. That's why, because of manners today, there is a lot of issue with what's real, what's not. There is a lot of fake humbleness. The real humbleness is Moses didn't think he can go in because he realized how great is the Creator and how small he was. Unfortunately, because we are not yet reaching the level where we need to be, it seemed to us that we deserve more. I repeat again. Because we didn't achieve the spiritual level where we need to be, we don't fully grasp God. We don't understand God, how great it is. You know, if we realize how small we are, and now everything, it's a joke. Everything. And then there is nothing that we would think like, oh, I should have this, and I have that, and this and that, all those little stupid problems. But when a person starts to realize the greatness of the Creator, then it's not even working on yourself. You don't need to work on yourself. You realize the greatness of the Creator. You realize the greatness of the Creator. Sometimes people at the airport, you know, you cannot go the regular way, so they bring the airplane and they bring the stairs to you. And you go downstairs and you realize how big is the plane. What happened to you at that moment? Ooh, that's a big plane. Now, that's nothing compared to the Creator. Try to imagine, let's say, 1,000 times size. You will have respect automatically from the size, not even from the understanding. So when you get closer to the Creator, you will feel smaller and you feel more dark and you will feel sometimes even depressed. That danger, that's ego. It's a different type of ego because I realized how small I was. Where do we learn it from? From the spy. If you remember the verse that the spy used, when they went to Eretz Israel, to Israel to spy, they say, we saw the giant that was so big and we were so small, but also we were small through their eyes. Ha'inu ktanim be'enem. They saw how small they are through the eyes of the giant. That's when they were busy with them. You don't know how small you look. You know that's great, but you don't know how small you look. Because you are, if I meet a giant, my hand is still the same size. So to experience how nothing you are, that's the ego too. So what is that we need to do? There is two ways of a spiritual journey. One way is to know how the Creator is great and to understand how small you are. Second way, to know how small you are and realize how the Creator is great. Both ways are kosher. Both ways are kosher. Some say it's better to start with how small you are because it's more related to you. And then eventually realize how great is the Creator. Some say by the time you're going to work and beat yourself up, you're going to have ego, that you are so humble that you're never going to meet God. So it's better to start with how great is God. But the people who go opposite of that, they say, well, if you think God is great, you feel like you discover it. And that you're going to have ego for discovering how great is God. And you feel better than the others. And the opposition also said that you will never reach how great is God because you are busy with how great is God in an intellectual way, but you never diminish yourself. So both ways, that's why one way is Rav Zusha, one way is Rabbi Elimelech. Both ways is good. One way is building yourself up and remind yourself small, and then all of a sudden you realize how great is the Creator. And the idea is, that's why it's good to do volunteers, and help other people. Because when you help other students, you help stranger, and you start helping them spiritually, you realize, you know, how much you know. And from how much you know, it's more important how much you share of what you know. Because if it's only kept for you, what does it do? Chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. It's actually doing more damage. The Talmud, the book of the Talmud, write like this. If a person studied Torah, and the Torah is not with the right essence, Torato nesta lo sama mavet. Chas v'shalom, the Torah become drug of death. If the person studied Torah and know what to do with it, the same Torah become drug of life and give him long life, good relationship, money, everything. Same Torah, but depends what you do with it. So when I keep repeating to you, please share your Torah. Please come, you take note, share it. Don't be shy. Don't worry if they like it or not. It's not about for them to like. Who cares? They can say, I can't stand it. Good, I share it. You share it, you never know. 20 years from now, the person will wake up and say, wow, amazing. So it's not your business to win. Your business is to share. You share. It's okay. You do your sharing. Are you using them in the ways the Ari HaKadosh explained? Yes. The Ari HaKadosh talk about it from in a reincarnation point of view. The people that you're going to meet that you need to share with has to do with your soul. So by you sharing with them, the good part of the soul starts moving to you. So it's kind of technique. It's not fair. But it's a technique to grow up. The Dari okay with that. Rabbi Chaim Vital too. So you always look for people to share wisdom that you get here. Okay? Now, that's supposed to come. This is from Rav Ashlag? Okay. Huh?
Yeah.
What's it? Agdara?
Matan Torah.
Where is the other? I want it after.
Okay.
All right. All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about happiness. By the way, the second part of what I spoke about was korbanot. And korbanot, you need to remember from now on, korban means sacrifice. Sacrifice. So sacrifice also the same name, litkarev, to get closer. So you're getting closer. So well, the sacrifice was to get closer to the Creator. And we will study more about it right now. And that's the way you get to happiness. Please, let's read.
Rabbi Yehuda opened the discussion saying, serve Hashem with gladness, come before his presence with singing. We have learned that any service man wants to perform before the Holy One, blessed be he, should be done with gladness and a willing heart so that his service will be complete. If you say that it is impossible to do so with the service of the offering because the man transgressed his master's precept, the precept of the Torah and the repentant before his master, how would he face him? With a broken spirit at least. Where is gladness? Where is singing?
Very, very simple question. In the old days, it was no prayer. People used to go to the temple. If you commit a crime, you bring an animal, you sacrifice the animal, and that's how you've been forgiven. And based on the type of fire, if it's a fire of a dog, like I mentioned it before, you know, your prayer not been accepted. If it's a fire of a lion, your prayer being accepted. That's how you would know. The shape of the fire would be like a dog or a lion. So the idea of how can you be happy when you commit a crime? You know, and of course, what kind of animal was bringing what? So a rich person bring large animal and the poor person always bring small animal. So people think because they don't have, right? I mean, it cannot be the reason. And the reason is because a poor man who commit a crime is, or she's, you know, they're already low. They're already so low, and they don't need a lot to elevate themselves right away back. Because the ego is not disturbing. They don't have money. They, a blind man and a poor man considered dead, by the way. A dead man is a blind man or a poor man. That's why they don't have to do a lot for the spiritual thing, because they have nothing. They have nothing to live for. Okay? So how, the question the Zohar asks, how can you be happy when you come to say the word? Also in your prayer, you know, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you come in front of God. You come in front of God and you know that you promise in the beginning of the year to be better and to be better. You make a list, you burn the paper, you do the thing, you do the Passover. After that, you okay, you forgive yourself a little bit this. And you come to Rosh Hashanah, and all of a sudden you remember the promising. Remember the promising? I don't know what to do. So he say, you have to do it with happiness. How can you do it with happiness? I lie. I basically lie to God. Not to people, nobody know. But I lie to God. I make a deal with God. Say, give me another year to stay alive. And I give you change. And God said, okay, here's another year. Where is the change? Well, I'm working on it. You know, I'm working on it. But you don't. You don't. You just use the king to take whatever he give, and you give nothing in return. So how can you come with singing? That's a Zohar question. So he answered.
He answers, we've learned this. A man who has sinned before his master and transgressed, his precepts should be of low spirit, a broken spirit, when he comes to bring an offering and rectify himself. It is best if he cries. There is no gladness or singing. They are contrived by the priests and the Levites, who add gladness and singing to him. Gladness is established in the priest, for he is always far removed from judgment. The priest should always have a more joyful and happier countenance than the rest of the people, for his crown of priesthood causes him this. Singing is in the Levites, because the Levites are always responsible for singing, as we explained.
Okay, so we need to understand the Kohanim and Levim. The Kohanim is mercy, always love. The Levites do the music. The Levites is the left column. So the left column, music always comes from left column. That's why they have to shave their body. They never have hair. You know that, right? None of them, they shave their eyebrow. They have nothing. There were no hair at all because they are all left column. And we know the hair is left column. Okay? That's why, you know, always say, you know, with boys, it's not to keep their hair long because that brings more judgment, more left column. A woman can handle the left column. That's why during the period, if a woman open her hair, you know, open, I mean, she's, what is it, let it run free, uncover that energy drawing everything around her because she's activating a very strong energy, which is very difficult to, a man cannot handle it. A man get the energy bit sucked from the man. So because the man in left column is not dealing very well. So that's why the Levi represent left column. They were serving the Kohanim. Kohanim are the priests. What they used to do? Slaughter the animal, right? Okay, cut the meat. They do some for the Levites, some for them, you know. And tradition, if you want to read about it, there's many, many pages to explain what's going on. Hopefully when the temple will be built, we're all going to know what's happening there. But right now, what we have is Kohen go first to the Torah, Levi go second. That's how the tradition left from the memory of the Kohanim. Because we don't know yet who's real Kohen, who's not real Kohen. The only Kohanim that they know was for real was in Tunis, in northern part of Africa, in a city called Djerba. One city that we know for sure there was Kohanim. Because what they did in the temple started to be destroyed, they took a ship from Jaffa and they sent it right away to Tarshisha, which means Tunisia, and they hide them there. They were hiding for many, many years. Till the time of Israel was established again. Not established, but from a point of Zionism, if you want. 1948, then they came back and that the memory of real Kohen. But we don't know if there could be, there is more, but we know about one place for sure that they make sure they hide them there. They hide them in Djerba in Tunisia, 2,000 years ago. Can you imagine? And the tradition is still there of the city of the Kohanim. So the idea is that when you do something wrong, it has to be tears, it has to be some pain, and that's why there is something called tikkun chatzot when you're sitting on the floor at night after midnight, and you cry for whatever you did wrong. At least you should do it once a week. If you're tired, once a week, it's good enough. You know, when it's chatzot now, chatzot is one, because they change the clock, 1:10, something like that. So you do it after chatzot, till you have a lot of shachets, like 5, so, or before 5. And then you sit there, cry, you think about all the wrong thing you're doing, and you feel sorry for it. So the question still remains, happiness. He said that if you not worship God with happiness, you get punished. So how do you find happiness while you know you did do a good job? How do you mix that two energy? Because one is left column, and one is totally right column. A happiness is coming from the Kohanim, who sing, who beautiful, who taking care of mercy. On the left column is more, not the punishment, but the cutting off of the negativity. Okay, go ahead.
The priests and Levites stand by him, and the service of the Holy One, blessed be he, is completed through them. The priest stands by him and proceeds with gladness and joy to properly unify the holy name. And the Levites proceed with the song. Then it says, know that Hashem, he is Elohim. This is the offering, literally drawing near, which draws mercy nearer to judgment, and then everything is mitigated. For Hashem is mercy and Elohim judgment, and they are perfumed together as one.
So basically, we know that Elohim, and hopefully if you study the Passover lecture that I gave last year, you'll understand that Elohim is always judgment, okay? Or in the language of Passover, it's Katnut. And Yud Kevavke is always Gadlut, always mercy, okay? So the idea between Yud Kevavke and Elohim, the Elohim is the cry, how you cry and how you are working on yourself. And Yud Kevavke is the connection, it's the simcha, it's the happiness. You're going to be rejoiced when you make a spiritual thing. But you also have to look inside and say, you know, I need to change. So we see a lot of time people go on a spiritual journey and they're just happy. It's not enough. Inside you have to have Elohim. It's not something to show outside. Inside you have to have Elohim. You have to be serious about your spiritual journey. Spiritual journey has to be mixed also with your love life, those of you who found love. If the love is only love and it doesn't have Yirah, doesn't have Elohim, the Elohim has to be serious. Elohim has to be judgment. You know, you're judging yourself, you're judging them, not in a bad way. What's right, what's wrong? You cannot judge by being just happy. If you're just happy, how can you find out good from bad? You have to say, hey, that's wrong, that's right. That's from Elohim in love life. On Yud Kevavke, because I see if we have women, so a lot of time I see women serving the men. That's Yud Kevavke, which is beautiful. Serving him, giving him, doing for him, food, I don't know, drink. It's a good thing. It's Yud Kevavke. It's activating a mercy. But you also have to do Elohim. If you don't have Elohim in your relationship, something is off. So let's say you want to give him that, but you're not going to give. That's Elohim. If you don't want to give him that, then you should ask what he's doing there. You know, it's like, there is a question that they teach you when you test to become a rabbi. So there is a question. One of the questions they ask, if a couple come to you and they say, I teach you how to put it on a good vibe. You know. So they come to the rabbi and they say, what if a couple, a woman or a man, before they get married, they ask, we need help because we're not sure about the relationship. So the answer, usually not by socially, but religion, if they're not sure, usually it's for sure that they're not supposed to be together. It's a very simple. If they're not sure, because love is the drive, then you have problem. But not sure if to be together or not. And if it's come from the woman, usually the woman just try to justify why is it good, you know? Because women is malchut. What they do, they, you know, you ever see the horses walking in the in New York? They put on the horses that, I don't know, the name for it. Blinder?
Blindfoot. That's what it's called, a blinder?
Yeah. So the horse will not get scared from the truck.
Blindfoot? Not blindfoot. No, it's not a blinder.
Yeah. I kind of like this. I don't want to know. It's a fun for you. Be Elohim. Give you a scenario, like a case. A lady from New Jersey. Her husband has a drinking problem. She doesn't want to know. She's a good Moroccan lady. Good Jewish Moroccan. From her mother, she learned how to cook. She learned how to serve. She served. She served the man. She gave him food. She gave him children. It's perfect, perfect, perfect for her. Perfect. Problem. She had a spiritual awakening. Is it a problem? Yes. Because it's so painful. Once you have a spiritual awakening, what's going on with my life? All of a sudden, you know, it happened. To her, it happened when she was 48 or 46, I don't remember. And that's a stop sign. You know how shocking it is? It's shocking. So, because I knew her husband, I was invited to go. We sit together. They say, you have a drinking problem? Leo, do I look like I have a drinking problem? He bring a bottle, he put it there. So you see, the bottle is there and I'm not drinking it. Do I have a drinking problem? So will you eventually drink the bottle? So he played with me Kabbalah. I said, well, after I'm no longer want to drink, I will have to drink it to elevate the spark. Use the Kabbalah thing. Shtick. And I said, and how much you need to drink to elevate all the spark? So we have to finish the bottle. So we don't have some spark left. I said, in a little bit of that, that's enough to elevate the entire spark of the bottle. I'll just share with you a story about men and women. So if she, by the way, they divorced now, he has a lover, it's all good for both, the both happy. The idea is sometimes you have to be Elohim. You cannot give all the time. What's the purpose of your giving? Ego? Good wife. Oh, you're going to get the diploma with the sign. It doesn't mean not to give, it's bad. But you have to find out why you're giving. You're not giving because you care. You give him because you want to come across as Yud Kevavke. You want to come as, I'm happy. But what about him? You're killing the husband. He's drinking all day long. What about if it's not drugs or alcohol? It can be food. It can be clothing. It can be ironing the shirt. Depends. You have to stop from giving. Because sometimes if you don't do Elohim, the balance has been missing. Then it's all collapsed. The happiness will not last. The judgment will not last. Nothing will last. It will be just empty. That's why you see many couples that start very well. They both like to give each other, oh, darling, I miss you, I love you, I miss you, and all this and that. But nothing is going on. Because it's got to be midah. It's called midah. Midah means measurement. It has to be midah. Midah means measure. You have to measure. Okay, what's happening? What's happening? Okay, should I give? It's not about if he appreciates you. It's about if you give him or her, what's the value? Can they receive what I'm giving them? Can they receive? It's a good question. But I want to give. So what? Can they receive that? Now, how can you tell that they're able to receive? More you give, more they appreciate you. How they know, how do you know they can't receive anymore? The appreciation, and women should know that, if they don't wear the, what do you call it, the blind thing. Women can tell like that, that the appreciation level went down. Run for your life. Not because of you, because of him. You're killing him. Get out of there. Get out of there. You give him Yud Kevavke intense, you're burning. There's nothing left. You make him a robot. Back off. Wash your hands. What do you think we should do? And that's the point of, I'm sharing this story from New Jersey. It's a great story, great example. You know, to make us understand that just using simcha, just using Yud Kevavke, just happiness, with no Elohim, you need Kohen and Levi in your behavior too. The Kohen, do the blessing, give the thing, the love, the happiness. Yes, you should have that 50%. But you should also have Elohim, tough. But not tough because you want to be nasty, chas v'shalom. If that's your reason, don't be there. It should be the tough come from love. If the tough come from hate, don't be there. Why are you together? Why are you even together? Get out of there. But the toughness has to come from love. It has to come because you care. I don't want to give up on that soul. So I don't want to give. But if the toughness comes because it bothers you, you can't say anything. That's not good. Because that comes from the klipot. Klipot make you hate. So that's the mix. Now, here we go. Now
that there are no offerings, whoever has sinned before his master and has repented is surely bitter, sad, and of a broken spirit. How can he observe gladness and singing, seeing that they are not in him? We have learned that the praises he offers to his master, the rejoicing in the Torah and singing the Torah, are the actual gladness and singing. We also learned that it should not be done in sadness. Namely, man should not stand before his master in sadness. If he cannot, for he is brokenhearted for his sins, what should he do?
Okay, what you should do, this is meditation. Just a second. This is a meditation that you should always remember that. It's a mix of Elohim, as you can see. That's the verse. Okay. And you're doing it every time that you come into a place of prayer. The Zohar in 113 explained, today we don't have any longer Bet HaMikdash, the temple. So you say, you have to mix chesed v'pachad, or chesed v'gvura, fear and mercy together, to awaken the true happiness. So let's say when you come here on Shabbat to pray, go inside of you, and usually the Kabbalists, what they do, but if you've been seen, that's the ego. When you go to the door, you usually wait a second, and you say, I'm receiving through the mezuzah, through the door, the mercy and the pachad, the mercy and the fear, which means the fear of coming in front of the Creator, and the mercy and the happiness that I have the privilege to come in front of the Creator. You have to, I know it's hard, because people like either this or that. No, there's no such thing. You gotta mix it together, okay? To make this point a little bit clearer, I brought from Rav Ashlag, from what used to be named, his original book used to be called, but then they changed the name, Gift of the Bible, that's how it used to be called many years ago. Okay? And let's see what he wrote. And based on that, it will help us to change. So hopefully you will remember that session. Yeah, go ahead.
This is why the sages said, and what does the Creator care whether we slaughter from the neck or from the back of the neck? After all, the precepts were given only in order to purify people.
It actually should be not the word purified. You should use the word unified. Okay, so use the word unify, not purify. It will be a better way. Hello. Hi, nice to meet you.
And this unification or purification is
explained. Yeah, it's unification because the word is mitzvah. And mitzvah comes from the word savta. But it's also letzaref, mean to unify. Litzrof mean when you take the gold and you burn it to remove the part that is not supposed to be with the gold when you get it from the ground, that's litzrof. So it's interesting. The words are very similar. So I think from the Hebrew to the English, the translation, something happened, okay? And so you can say purified and unified, both words, okay?
And this purification is exactly explained very clearly in the article of the giving of the Torah. But here I will explain the essence of this development, which is attained through living by the Torah and the precepts. You should know that this has to do with the concept of recognition of evil within us. Living by the precepts and practicing them in everyday life has the power to purify or unify ourselves slowly and gradually. And the levels of unification or purification are proportionate to the level of recognition of the evil within us.
So, I know it sounds a bit heavy or depressing, but a lot of people, you know, want to work on themselves spiritually, right? And work on ourselves spiritually, it's important. But it should not be the goal. The spiritual journey, it's not the goal, it's only the tool. If it's become the goal, we are missing something. What are we missing? We are missing the point of to become unified. Let's say if I work on myself, and I do my meditation, and you come and bother me, say, I'm sorry, I'm working on myself now. So if I'm no longer part of the group. I'm separating myself from the group. Or if I'm saying, I'm sorry, I'm purifying myself now. And there's many people who do that. They do a silent day or two, and then they don't talk to anybody. Sometimes people need their help. They need their help. So I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of non-talking today. And the idea what Rav Ashlag tried to explain to us here is a very simple concept. You want to know if you're working on yourself? See if what you're doing helps you to know what's wrong with you. Recognize the evil from within. How do we know it's true? I said before tonight, I'll repeat it again. As you're getting closer to the divine, as you're getting closer to God, as you're getting closer to the light, what happened exactly? you realize that there is something wrong with me. Not in a bad way, not in a depressing way. In an exciting. It's almost like, I'm not big on cleaning, so I'm a terrible example. But my wife is, I mean, I'm good in cooking, but after that, there is a problem. So for example, there is people who know what to do. I mean, I'm ready to take order how to clean, but I'm not good in that. So there is people who are very good. They know how to. You start here, you go there. You put this first, you put that first. So there is people with a sense of clean. They see the room, they know where to start. When you clean the house, or Passover is coming, so everybody cleaning, you get excited when you find dirt so you can clean it. You almost like get a joy from it. I found something. And you're getting excited. Why? Because you truly want the house to be clean. Same thing when you work on yourself. Is the working on yourself the purpose, or the house to be clean is the purpose? I want to be clean. The purpose, I want to become better. So me becoming better is the goal. What will make me better? If I remove those layer of negativity. Because inside of me, I never change. Can the soul ever grow wrong? Never. The soul is perfect. It just keep getting layers and layers and layers above the soul, almost like a diamond that fell into the mud. If the diamond loses value, Chas v'shalom, God forbid, never. The diamond is the same price, just dirty. You have to wash it a bit. If people don't want the diamond that fell into the dirt, you can come to me. I will take it, right? The same our soul. Our soul never changes. But if you don't recognize that dirt above the soul, that's exactly what's disturbing us to connect to the divine, to connect to the creator. So Vashlag is teaching us. You want to know if you're working on yourself? Are you every day find what's wrong with you and you get excited? If you find what's wrong with you, like we spoke in the beginning of the evening, and you get depressed, that's ego. If you find what's wrong with you and you dance, now you're spiritual. That's the only difference. If I beat myself up over think I didn't do or think I should be doing, and I keep beating myself up and I'm busy all day long, oh, poor me, not enough people see how I'm in so much pain, that's ego. What is the purpose of it? What are you trying to accomplish? You make God look bad. You make the angel look bad. You make the whole universe look bad. Like we spoke before, then nobody who's never been on a spiritual journey will ever get inspired by you to get closer. The purpose of life is to inspire others. It's to help others. Yes, I found the stain. Good, we're going to clean it now. So the shirt will look better tomorrow. That's the purpose. So the idea of what Rav Vashlag is giving us here, especially on this week before the beginning of the month of Aries, this Friday, such an important time. Remember, Friday is the gate of money open. Make sure you meditate on that. Friday night, the gate of all the money for the whole year available. You make sure you bring your key, but make sure it's not a dirty key. The meditation from North Africa is to use key for money. It's coming from my great-grandfather who grew up in Libya and Tunisia. So that's where I'm bringing it from. Anyway, let's continue with that.
The human being is naturally able to reject and remove every evil thing within him. And this is equally true of every single person. However, the only difference between one person and another is the ability to recognize evil. Since a more advanced person could recognize a greater degree of evil and can reject and separate this evil from himself to a greater degree, whereas a less advanced person recognizes a lesser degree of evil and therefore can only reject a smaller amount of evil, leaving most of the contamination within him, since he doesn't recognize it is a contamination at all.
So it's a very powerful thing here, and I hope you saw that. Rav Vashlag doesn't make the evil as part of us. Recognize the evil. So we need to start believe that truly, whatever you think wrong with you, if you judge yourself, it's not you. It's that cover that's disturbing you. You got to put it in the right balance, okay? Okay, it's very, very important. Whatever evil that we think we have, because we all have issues, anger, jealousy, I don't know, laziness, that issues itself is the evil from within, but it's not you. Never going to be you. If you think it's you, it's your ego. If you think I am the worst person in the world, it's not your ego. You're the worst person in the world. What, there is a competition now? Who's the worst? What is that? What is the purpose of saying it? What is the purpose? It's such an ego. It's the same like you're saying, I'm the best. Remember, we are in the divine universe. We are here in this beautiful divine universe. This whole universe belongs to divine. We are a guest. We're coming to visit, enjoy, you know, beautiful thing. So in the middle to stop and say, I'm the worst. We are not even exist. Even the negative thing that we do is hardly our responsibility. But it's our responsibility to be able to stop using the evil from within. And that's why the only way, when you look at people, and I'm sure we all get hurt by people. It's very normal, this universe. It's designed to meet the wrong people. This universe is exactly designed to meet as many wrong people as possible. How are you going to grow? Meet always the right people. No, seriously. Why, you go on a date, you always meet perfect? Right? You go on a date, perfect from behind the table, perfect this table, shake hands, here's the ring, get married, goodbye. No, you have to meet non-perfect in business, non-perfect relationship, non-perfect doctor. That's how you develop yourself. But are those non-perfect people, those evil people, are they bad? No. What's Rav Ashlag explained? They are not yet recognized their evil within. And that's what makes them immature in the area of spirituality. So there is no such a thing as bad people or evil people. There is people who are immature. They don't grow up yet. You know, they're not changing. Some people will never change this lifetime, my friend. I'm sorry to say to you the bad news. Some people will have to be next lifetime. You just want to make sure not to have any problem with them. Because if you have problem with them, you have to be reincarnate with them next lifetime too. You have to understand that part. From the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria explained that as much as you forgive people who hurt you, you have nothing to do with them. Goodbye. You go next lifetime, but I don't have to come. But if you have issue, you didn't forgive them, they give you a second chance. Hello. That's your new husband. That's your new wife. Get along now. Why? Because you're far. Every lifetime you get closer. You got sister, brother, neighbor. You have to have issue. So the non-perfect life or the non-perfect part of this universe perfecting us. Are you going to become better? Everything going to be okay? How are you going to become better? How are you going to become better? Finding the stain, finding the dirt, finding the evil from within. Right? I mean, a lady came to see me. We talk. She said, I have only one problem. So that's easy. What's the problem? I hate liars. Wow. I said, let's make two of us. It's good. And we start talking. I thought she was more open. I said, may I say something? She said, yes. I said, I will tell you. And I'm talking from experience. People who hate liars are usually control freak. I said, what do you mean? I said, your issue is not that you hate liars. You have to control everything and everybody. But the one person you can never control is what? A liar. Can you control a liar? How can you control a liar? So one thing you're going to hate is the one you can control. What do we call that person? A liar. Where do we put the problem? There or there? There. Liar. Cheater. Are they liar? Yes. Are they cheater? Yes. Why am I hating them? Because I can never control them. One thing you can never do with a liar, you can never control them. Never. So 2 weeks ago when we did a Kabbalah gym on Thursday, we did a test. what type of ego everybody got. I thought in the beginning people were fooling me. So everybody got, I gave them 20 type of ego. Everybody chose one. I said, you guys okay? I said, yes. I said, can you choose something else? I said, no. That's my ego. And everybody chose one word. You know what was it? Control. So how can it be that everybody's suffering from one problem, control? It was a group. It was an industry group. All of you. And I thought Robert in the end will say maybe something else. Control! You too. It was a funny lecture. But the idea is to teach us, when you look inside, it's fun. Because you understand the universe, now you're having control over your life. Why do we want to control others? Truly, because I can control myself. I can control my bad habit, addiction, need for approval. So what I do is start to control everything else. But if I can control myself, I'm in peace with myself. I don't need to control you. But why do I need to control you? Because you're a liar. Now, is that help? Is the liar stop lying? Never. That's his issue or her issue. It's never going to stop. Never going to stop. What's going to stop is me. That's why Rav Ashlag said, recognize the evil for within. We're just going to finish that part, so, because I promised to do two more parts here. Yes, go ahead.
And in order not to weary the reader, you will explain the concepts of good and evil in general, as explained in the article of the gifts of the Bible. Evil is nothing but self-love, otherwise known as egotism, which is the opposite of the form of the Creator, who has no desire to receive for himself, but only to share. And as we explained in section 9 and 11, the degree of all pleasure and sweetness that a person can experience depends on the degree of his affinity of form with the Creator. Mm-hmm. Whereas the degree of suffering and impatience a person experiences is in direct relation to his lack of affinity of form with the Creator. Therefore, selfish love is painful and detested by us since it gives us the form opposite to that of the Creator.
Okay. So, I don't know if that's clear, but it has to be clear. It's very important. So, first there is doubt here. I mean, we're supposed to raise a doubt. If I would be sitting as a student, hey, excuse me. I see many selfish people are happy. They get what they want, the money they want, the woman they want, the man they want, the car they want, the house they want. They're happy. A true happiness, my friend, it's something internal. It's not something just you wear on the face. It's real. It's the core. It's from inside. Now, give you a story. A man fall in love with a woman. What a beautiful love. It's looking amazing. They're planning the day of the wedding. Everything this. He did the ring thing with the engagement. The diamond is big enough. Everybody's happy. The food is vegan. She's happy. Flour.
It's kosher.
Kosher. Beautiful, right? Perfect. Perfect. All of a sudden, they have a deep talk. I don't know what they're drinking or smoking, but they have a deep talk. And after that deep talk, all of a sudden she shows some concern. He's angry. He said, diamond, vacation before the wedding, all this. I invest a lot, not just money, but time and my heart. He took his heart basically out. It was not even belonged to him. And then when I met him, was about the end of it, and we're reading that section together. I said, Leah, what are you talking about? Like, what? He didn't say exactly that word. It was worse. What are you talking about? What is this? So what is that? And there is a moment of truth when you're going through pain. I don't know if you ever went through a love pain. I don't know if you ever experienced something like this. It can be super painful. But there is a moment with yourself when you have to sit with yourself and ask yourself, is my ability right now is to let go of things that don't belong to me. And if I can't let go of what's not belong to me, then what's not belong to me will find me and stay with me. And when what's not belong to you will stay with you, Chas v'Shalom, God forbid, it can be dangerous for you, not just for that relationship, but for the rest of your life. Manipulation, the punishment for manipulation, I said in my book, is when you end up with the wrong thing on your desk all the time. What does manipulator do? They try to take something that don't belong to them. Opinion, money, people, women, men. But what is the end result of it? They are stealing things that don't belong to them. So they end up with the wrong people around them all the time. And then they say, how come I'm surrounded by idiots, right? But those idiots was your desire 20 years ago. That's exactly what you want. When we're not capable to give up what's not belong to you, and how do you know what's not belong to you, what's not belong to you? You work on that. You see, you try to bring the marriage together, you try to, but it's not going anywhere. It's not going. What are you going to do? So what's Rav Ashlag is telling us? The degree of pleasure is not of what you're getting. It's how much you're connecting to the divine. We measure the degree of pleasure based on my wish, and my wish come true. I was watching with Debbie last night on Netflix. I like to watch those, what people call boring show. Yeah. It's documentary, but I enjoy that. So I like to watch on all religion and all things and all kind of, I don't remember the show, but it was half an hour, 12 episode. And I realized that people get closer to religion or to spirituality to get what they want. It's the only drive. We want to get close to God. Why? Because we can be healthier. We want to get closer to God. Why? Because I find my soulmate. Of course, we want to get closer because we live longer. What is this to do with God? Zero. Nobody cares about God. Nobody cares. God becomes the ATM machine. You press it there. That's it. So yes, there is a name for it. God, divine, Hashem, Adonai, light, whatever you want to call it. But in the end of the day, you don't care about that thing. You care about what you can get from the thing. And they call it religion. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful establishment, right? Because the drive of a human being, I want it, I get it, I'm happy. Rav Ashlag say, it's wrong. It's wrong. I want it, I get it, I'm happy. I want it should be, I want to connect to the divine. Who say it? King David. King David in his book Tehillim, or in English, Psalm. In the book of Tehillim, King David say like that. Achat sha'alti me'et Hashem. One thing I'm asking from God. One thing. Shifti bevet Hashem kol yimei chayai. May I sit in the house of God for the rest of my life. Everybody ask, why didn't he ask money, soulmate, car? You know, something. One of the picture of Leonardo da Vinci. Something nice. King David achieved true happiness because he realized, I want to connect to the divine. How many of us, during the day, we stop for 10 minutes even, 5, 3 minutes a day. Just close your eyes, 3 minutes, we all have 3 minutes, and sit and say, divine, help me to want to get closer to you. Not help me to get closer, help me to want. Help me to want. I can tell you, my meditation, when I pray, is, God, help me to believe in you. I think I'm far away in believing in you. I'm begging you to put them in me because I don't have the power to believe in you the way you want me to believe in you. So if you can put it in me, I will definitely believe. You know, just inject it. What does it take? Where did I learn it from? Rav Ashlag. Rav Ashlag is the one who wrote it on himself. So you're allowed to ask for one thing. And if you get this one thing as a gift, everything will be easy. We need to get to that place, please. I know it's very late. I never hold you that late. One more page. And actually, there's two more. But
however, the ego is not felt to be vile, and we do not detest or feel pain the same way among all people. Different people have different degrees of it, since the wild, less evolved person does not see his egotism as a bad trait at all. He uses it openly without any shame, and does not restrain himself from stealing and murdering in front of anyone who comes along. Whereas a slightly more evolved person can sense a degree of evil in his egotism, and at least he is ashamed of using it in public. He does not steal or murder where people can see, but in hiding, he carries out all his evil wishes, making sure that nobody sees him.
Yeah. So I see sometimes people crushing people who are hiding their evil. Mm-hmm. Hiding their evil is actually more maturity. Okay? Because they're ashamed. They know it's wrong, but they do it anyway. Addiction, for example. Okay? They're hiding it. Mm-hmm. Or if you see a baby, when the baby starts to be grown, they hide the diapers. They go in a corner and they're ashamed of doing it in front of their parents. And then eventually they go to the bathroom. Eventually they close the bathroom. There is development in the soul, in the body of the baby. It's amazing. So it's showing you the same thing happened in spirituality. I'm sorry, I don't want to keep you long. One more page. Debbie said, no problem.
And one who is even more advanced senses that his egotism is to be so vile that he cannot tolerate himself, and he separates from it and removes it completely to the extent that he recognizes it so clearly, and he neither desires nor derives enjoyment from the toil of others. Then sparks of love for others awaken within him and are called altruism, which is the trait of striving for the general good. These sparks also ignite within him, according to the rule of gradual development, as first the sense of love and serving the needs of his family and friends develops within him, and of this it is written, do not ignore your relatives. And as the person develops further, the trait of generosity extends to everyone around him, the residents of a city or nation, and thus it continues to evolve until he attains the level of love of all mankind.
Now you understand why tonight and also on Shabbat, when I give the lecture, I say how important it is when you share your knowledge with others. It's not just to share your knowledge. It doesn't matter if they like what you say. Let's say if you study something tonight, share it with one person, but share it with one person that you're capable to reach, and then another person. You will practice first about your ego, and you will see that their ego has not let you in. It doesn't matter. You share, you help. That's good. And this is the true work, because the real work, the real spiritual work, take time. And the beauty about it is we are together. And when we're doing it together, that's really what it's all about. So remember, this week, very powerful. Before Aries, Thursday night is the energy of Aries coming in. Friday night is Aries all the way, energy begin. Watch your mouth from Saturday. Don't speak if you can. If you can avoid talking for 14 days, it would be great. But if you, it's very difficult to do that. Just try not to talk a lot for 12 days. 12 days should be the perfect. So usually if you are married or you have a significant one, try to buy a gift. This tradition of giving gift and disappear. Don't talk about it. Flour, gone. Chocolate, gone. So just you don't fight. Normally, unfortunately, because Aries ruled by Mars, it's not easy. Not easy. But it's considered the most powerful positive month of the year if you know how to do it. That's why I'm going to give a lecture this Friday. Don't forget. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you for coming.